campus life via podcast. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. I'm John Gordon. More than 100 universities worldwide are making class lectures available for free in the form of audio and video podcasts. The so-called open courseware movement started in 2002 at MIT and is spreading rapidly now that podcasting is going mainstream. The University of California, Berkeley has 59 complete courses available on iTunes, which is the most popular place to subscribe to podcasts. Those courses include Existentialism in Literature and Film and Introduction to Chemistry. Dan Coleman is director of Stanford University's Continuing Studies Program and creator of the Open Culture Weblog, which follows developments in higher education podcasting. Coleman says college and university podcasts generally fall into two categories, guest lectures and complete course lectures. He says higher education podcasts are just now beginning to take off.
Just this year, or last year, I should say, you find a lot of major universities just going online, just creating an iTunes site and putting only a few lectures online. Some already had significant collections. They developed them further in 06. Some just started in 06. And I really think in 07, you're going to see just massive collections developing, and it's going to be the case that you won't be able to keep up.
Which schools right now are doing the most interesting things with podcasting?
If I had to point to two, I would say right now it's probably UC Berkeley and Stanford. UC Berkeley has done something tremendous just over the past year. They've put together or put on iTunes 59 complete courses, which is, you know, pretty amazing that you can go in and find courses from across the different disciplines and really find something that you like and take a full listen in on a full-fledged course, which is pretty amazing. And then I would also point to Stanford, which at this point only has three courses online, but I know we're making an effort to put more online this year. You'll see a pretty substantial collection. And on top of that, there's a great number of individual lectures.
Why do you think schools are doing more of this? What do they get out of it?
The reason tends to be a really strong belief that information should be made free, should be made available. And it really, I think, comes from that commitment. And that's what will drive some of the bigger undertakings, I believe.
Is there much of a debate in the academic community about whether it could be counterproductive to offer a lot of classes via podcast? Is there worry that it promotes the perception that you don't really need to be on campus to learn?
Most of the time, I don't believe that these courses are being put online for the purposes of offering a substitute to the classroom itself. They're being put online more for public consumption. And generally, I think it's understood that people know that what you hear online is not a substitute for an education. Acquiring knowledge is one thing, but learning how to think is another. And really, there's much more to an education than what you passively hear in the classroom, and that's why it's really not such a controversial undertaking.
Dan Coleman of Stanford University is author of the Open Culture Weblog, online at oculture.com. This is Future Tense. I'm John Gordon.